abounds. Amen. You can just take in the love, the peace, and joy that is so abundant because we're here to give him glory. We're to honor his name. Amen. So why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Father, we just come to you now, and as we know our hearts are fully submitted to you, we resist the devil, and we know the devil has no choice but to flee. And Father, we just pray that you will abound in every way, as we know our hearts are fully surrendered to you. I pray, Lord, as you speak through me, I pray that your life will come upon my brothers and sisters and myself also, Lord. As your word is preached, Lord, I pray that your words will come alive and speak to us in such ways that we're not going to leave here the same person. We know we're becoming more and more like your son, Jesus, as we know our lives are fully submitted to you. We give this time all into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen, amen. Oh, you got, okay. All right, well, if you take a look at your notes, you know, we're continuing the sermon series called The Christian Atheist, and we're on part two. But before I get into this, I got to tell you about something that just happened the other day. You know, my family and I were playing a game of dominoes with my father-in-law, you know, John Lee's dad. And so if you know about the game, who knows about dominoes, how to play dominoes? Okay. It's a pretty fun game. I never played it before, but try it. You know, John Lee can teach you if you really want to learn, you know. But the object of the game is to get the lowest amount of points or dots, right, on the remainder of your domino tiles, okay? So at the end of one game, we had a five-way tie, okay? Because everyone got 4 points, 4 dots remaining. And suddenly, my daughter Abigail, right, she blurted out, "Well, I guess we're all losers," right? And to which my wife, Jonna Lee, she responded, "Rebuke, we're all winners," okay? It's how you look at it. Because we had a five-way tie, but are we all losers or are we all winners? Because we all won, right? But here's the thing. I guess it's how you really look at it. And, you know, we can put our life experiences either in a positive or negative light based upon our perception on how we see things. And I got to tell you, if you're in the Word of God, your perception is always going to be positive. It's always going to be godly. And it's our words that will often describe our feelings for what we experience. And sometimes, let's face it, our words can be pretty careless. We say things without thinking sometimes, and sometimes you kind of go, "Wow, why did I say that?" You ever experienced that before? Go, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that." But, you know, so like I said, last week we started a new series called The Christian Atheist. And if you remembered, a Christian atheist is defined as someone who identifies with Jesus Christ but has very little or no evidence of God in his or her life. They say, "I'm a Christian, that I believe in God." But if you look at the person's life, there's no evidence of God in this person's life. And oftentimes, if you ask their coworkers or neighbors, you know, about the very fact that this person is a Christian, they're totally shocked. They're totally surprised. "What? He's a Christian? No way!" Right? Can you imagine that? Because the very fact the world is watching us. Amen? Are we living a true example of Jesus Christ in our lives? You know, last week in the first characteristic, we talked about the person who lives a life of disobedience to God. You guys remember that? You guys were here last week, right? Today in the second characteristic, we will talk about the Christian who basically, as my wife would put it, she always says this, right? "Don't be a mouthpiece for the devil," right? Because when we are a mouthpiece to the devil, guess what? We're saying the very things that the devil wants us to say. And does the devil want good for us? No, we realize he wants us destroyed. He wants us to have great misery in our lives. So don't say the things the devil wants you to say, because you know the words you speak forth, guess what, has power. And this basically means for the person who is a mouthpiece for the devil, this person has constantly made it a lifelong practice to speak forth the very words of the devil, right? They will say exactly what the devil wants them to say and spew out the very words that will destroy them. And guess what? Even the people around them. Because they're speaking things of misery. They're speaking things that will bring forth this atmosphere of evilness, an atmosphere of destruction. And you got to realize this is what the Bible tells us. I want you to look at James 1:26 in your notes. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is what? Worthless. No good, right? If you claim to be religious, you know, it's not about us being religious, right? It's about the very fact we know we have a loving relationship with God. But oftentimes when we say that someone is religious, you're thinking about the person is doing everything that they're supposed to be doing based upon their rituals or based upon their acts of mercy or whatever it may be. But, you know, when we're just simply religious, that's not what God wants us to be. He wants us to really have the love of Christ in us that is shown forth to the world. But here's the thing. If we claim to be religious, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it seems, right? But you don't control your tongue. In other words, you just let your words just come whatever you want it to say, right? It tells us you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. It is nothing to God. If you do not allow your tongue to be controlled in a way that you know you're not going to be saying things that will bring forth destruction. I want you to read with me what it says there in James 3:7-12. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a what? Flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by what? Hell itself. Okay, let's just stop right there for a second. Your tongue is set on fire by hell itself. So when you're saying words of destruction, where is its origin? Hell. The devil knows the very fact that you're in a situation that if you say this particular statement or say this thing that he wants you to say, you're going to bring forth misery. You're going to bring forth division. You're going to bring forth all the ugliness that God, that the devil wants to have in your life. Its origin is where again? In hell. That's where the devil, he's looking at you and he's saying, say it. You got to say it because that person can't get away with what they just said to you. Its origin is in hell. I want you to remember that. Verse 7, let's read it together. Ready? Go. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. And sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. And surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And James says, no, this doesn't make sense. If you're a people of God, you keep on speaking blessings because that's what God has called you to do. Why is it that sometimes you speak blessings and other times you speak curses upon yourself and other people? And God says, stop that, because that's not how you represent me. Because when we are to speak forth the words that God wants us to speak, it's always good. Amen? It'll always edify people. It will bring them up, not bring them down. I want you to look at that question there. Upon who can our tongue inflict pain and curses? I want you to look at point number one. Upon who? Ourselves. Okay, I want you to realize sometimes our very own words can get us into a heap of trouble. And, you know, it's called a foot in your what? Your mouth syndrome, right? Where you say things that get yourself in a world of trouble. I want you to read what it says here in Proverbs 18, verses 20 to 21. Ready? Go. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring what? Satisfaction. The tongue can either bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Your tongue has the power of life or death. It can bring life or death upon your life based upon what you speak forth. People don't realize this, but it is true. I've seen it in my own life, and I gotta tell you, if you're not careful with your words, yeah, you will speak death upon yourself. You know, there's this man. His name is Kondraty Ryleyev. What a name, yeah? Kondraty Ryleyev. And he was sentenced to be hanged for his involvement of an unsuccessful revolt against the Russian Emperor Nicholas I, right, in December of 1825. And so what happened was he was ready to be hanged, and guess what happened? The rope broke. And Ryleyev, he was bruised and battered, and he fell to the ground. He got up and said, you know, in Russia, they do not know how to do anything properly, not even know how to make a rope. That's what he says, right? And usually when an accident like this happens, it resulted in a pardon. Because it's, oh, the rope, okay, let's let him go. Okay, so a pardon would come. So a messenger was sent to the emperor to determine, okay, what are we going to do next? So Nicholas I asked this messenger, so what did Ryleyev say? Sire, he said that in Russia, they don't even know how to make a rope properly. You know what the king said? Well, let's prove him wrong then. Let's get another rope. What do you understand? Can our words get us in trouble? But you got to understand, why would he even say something like that? Because it was something that was in his heart. He probably had a spirit of pride. And he said something that, guess what, cost him his life because he stuck his foot in his mouth because of what? Pride. You see that? So we got to be careful because, yeah, our words have the power over life and death. You want life over your life or do you want death? Of course we want life. And we got to be careful what comes out of this thing. And this tongue that we have in there is a lot of times the reason why we speak things that will get us into a lot of trouble. And oftentimes we may say things we regret because our self-pride has forced us to say something that would, you know, make us look better than the other person. And sometimes we say it and then, oh, we're in a world of trouble. You know what I'm talking about. But then there also are times, right, in which we may put curses upon ourselves when we blurt out things out of our mouths out of self-pity or the desire to gain attention from other people. And this is usually the case, right, when things don't go our way in our lives and we get totally careless with our words because, you know, sometimes we do have self-pity parties, right? You ever heard that term, pity parties, where we just say, oh, woe is me, you know, poor thing, I'm such in a terrible situation, you know, things will not get better. And we keep on saying these things and we make statements like, oh, I am so stupid. Oh, it's just hopeless. It'll never get better. You know, it's just going to get worse and worse. You know, I just give up. Just give up already. Nothing I can do. No. Nothing. You know, just give up. And when we allow our tongue to keep moving without our ability to control it whatsoever, we become a Christian atheist. Because guess what? You say we believe in God. We go to church. We do all the things that we're supposed to be doing as a Christian. But you know what? Somehow we've forgotten that God has power, that he has control over our lives. Amen? And we got to be careful of that because if we keep on letting our tongue get away with saying the things that we don't want to say, yeah, we're going to get into a world of trouble. And you know, believers in the Bible, they're no exception. You know, take example, a man named Job. You guys know Job, right? And his faith was put to the test when he lost all of his possessions, all of his children, and guess what? Even his health. I want you to look what his friends, what he says to his friends when they come to visit him. I want you to look at Job chapter 3. Actually, this is not in your notes. I want you just to listen to what Job says to his friends, you know, when they come to try to counsel him, but they're not really doing such a good job, if you remember. But this is what Job says. He says, let those who are experts at cursing, whose cursing could rouse Leviathan. Leviathan is a serpent monster, right? He says, whose cursing could rouse Leviathan, curse that day. Let its morning stars remain dark. Let it hope for light, but in vain. May it never see the morning light. And he says there in verse 10, curse that day for failing to shut my mother's womb, for letting me to be born to see all this trouble. Why wasn't I born dead? This is what Job is saying. Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why was I laid on my mother's lap? Why did she nurse me at her breast? Had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep and I would be at rest. I would rest with the world's kings and prime ministers whose great buildings now lie in ruins. And we realize when we have a pity party, we say things that really don't make sense. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, poor thing, I don't know. I might as well just go in the garbage can and just sit there until I suffocate and die, right? And sometimes people, they say things like, what? Why are you saying that, right? But we allow ourselves to get into a huge pity party, and we may just ramble on and on with these silly thoughts and ideas that come into our heads, right? And don't realize we're putting a curse upon ourselves. And the devil is helping you. I'm sure the devil's right there. Oh, yeah, say this. Come on, say it. You know, because that's what it is. And we got to realize, we got to zip our lip. Even if it is the case, we're just by ourselves. Yeah, don't speak it out into the atmosphere. Because you know what? Guess who is in the world? The devil is. And he's going to use your words against you. I'm telling you, this is what the scripture tells us. Be careful of the words we speak forth. Because yeah, the Bible says no man can tame your tongue. But if you allow the word of God to get deep in your head, deep in your mind, deep in your heart, yes, you're going to be able to have some control. Because it's the word of God that will come alive. And the word of God will prevent you from speaking death upon yourself. Amen? And you know, with David, he had a heart after God's own heart. And he found himself in a position, right, to start saying things that were probably not true. And this time I want you to listen to what David is saying. Because remember, he's a man of God. He's a holy man. Yet, even for him, he can start to allow his tongue to lose control. This is what he says in Psalm 22, 6 to 8. It's not in your notes, so just listen to what he says here. He says, but I am just a worm. I am not a man. I am scorned and I am despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. And you know, sometimes we are in situations where it seems like everything is just falling apart in our lives. And we say, you know what? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Not even God. And we start to think up things that we know are not true. And so when we get into these kinds of pity parties, first thing you got to do is control what's going up in here. Because eventually it will come out of your mouth. Because, you know, if you allow it to stew in your mind for such a long period of time, it will get to your what? Your heart. And suddenly, oh man, you're going to become a mouthpiece for the devil. And you're going to speak curses upon yourself. And you know, if we're not careful with our words, we may become exactly what we say of ourselves. And in some cases, guess what? We don't even have to say them anymore because it's already ingrained into our minds and into our hearts. You know, you guys probably heard of Norman Vincent Peale, right? And he wrote in his book, Power of the Plus Factor, he wrote this incident that happened to him many years ago. And this is what he says. He says, once I was walking through the twisted little streets of Kowloon in Hong Kong, and I came upon a tattoo studio. He says, in the window were displayed samples of the tattoos that were available. He says, on the chest or on the arms, you could have tattooed an anchor, a flag, a mermaid, or whatever you want. But he says here, but what struck me with force were these three words that could be tattooed on a person's flesh. You know what these words were? Born to lose. Would you want that? Well, you don't want the tattoo at all, right? But would you want a tattoo? Yeah, born to lose right here on your chest, okay? So he says, I entered the shop in astonishment and pointing to those words, I asked the Chinese tattoo artist, does anyone really have this terrible phrase, born to lose, tattooed on his body? And this Chinese man says, yes, sometimes. So he says, I just can't believe that anyone in his right mind would want to do that. And the Chinese man simply tapped his forehead like this, and he said in broken English, Well, before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. Isn't that true? Before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. And guess what? When we keep on thinking that, yeah, I'm a loser, I'm no good, we speak it out, right? Guess what? You're going to say, I am. I am a loser. I was born to lose. And you know, right? The devil, he's helping you to really believe that, so much so that you're not just going to speak it. You're going to believe it. And guess what? You're going to start living your life as a loser. Don't give in to that. Don't believe it. Because the devil, he wants your life to be a life of misery. And know that God, if his hand is upon your life, no, your life will only get better and better. Because his goodness will be poured forth upon your life because you love him, because you trust him, because you know our God will not let you down. Amen? I want you to look at what it says here in Luke 6, verse 45. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings what? Brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what is your heart filled with? Yeah, it's filled with Jesus. It's filled with the Word of God. Guess what? Your mouth is going to speak the very things that's in your heart. If Jesus is in there, the Word of God is in there, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes I meet with someone for lunch, and man, just the other day I met a brother for lunch, and we talked like 2.5 hours. And you know, he said, I got to go to a meeting. I said, no, go ahead. You know, and he said, I don't want to go. I want to talk more about God. But, you know, that's the thing. When you got God so alive in your heart, you don't want to stop talking about him. You just want to keep just boasting about the goodness of God. That's what it is. We got to make sure our minds are set upon the Lord. So much so that we're going to speak forth his goodness at all times. Amen? Because if you get your mind off the Word of God, you get your mind on the world, yeah, you're going to speak death upon yourself sooner than you think. Because that's what the world does. The world will speak death. And we got to be careful we do not get caught up in that. Because we got to make sure our hearts are filled with the treasure of the very good things of God. Not the things of evil, not the things that will bring forth hatred and anger and all these terrible things. That's why get your mind on the Word of God. Amen? I want you to look at number 2 now. It says we can get it upon who? Others, okay? And so then there are times in which our words are directed at other people, right? And can our words hurt others sometimes? Yes, as much as people's words can hurt us, yeah, our words can hurt others too. And sometimes, like I said, we can be careless. We can be a mouthpiece for the devil, okay? And Ephesians 4:29, let's read it together. Ready? Go. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building what? Others up or down? Up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And what is unwholesome talk? Well, it's talk that will bring someone down. Very simple. It's unwholesome. It brings death. It brings destruction. Don't let it come out of your mouth. I know sometimes, you know, people tell me, oh, it's so hard, Pastor Ben. I just don't want to say, but it comes out anyway. And I'm going to tell you, you know, the more you spend time in the Word of God, it's not going to be like, you know, a total cure-all, because sometimes you still will speak, you know, negative words, but it's going to become less. I can guarantee you this. The more you're into the Word of God, the more you're going to have control over your tongue. And he says, you only need to speak what is helpful. Ask yourself, and what I'm going to speak for, is it going to help this person? If not, then you know what? Better to just zip it up. Because sometimes we think, oh, I got to say it, right, to this person. No, you don't. If it's not helpful for this person, for building this person up, then zip it up. Throw away the key. Amen? And just say, Lord, I'm doing this for you because I know you want me to edify people. You don't want me to bring them down. You know, you probably heard of this comedian. His name is George Burns. Okay, I love him. Remember that movie, Oh God? Yeah. I think he passed away years ago, right? I'm sorry? Oh, really? Oh, okay. But his name is George Burns, and he made this observation. He says, too bad the only people who know how to run this country are busy driving cabs and cutting hair. Think about that for a second. Isn't that true? Because, you know, I once had a barber, and I know I love going to her. I went to her for years, okay? But she would always make comments about politicians, about the leaders of our country. And she would say, if I was the governor of Hawaii, man, things would be so different, right? If I was the president of the United States, oh, man, you're not going to have all these problems and troubles and all this, right? And I was like, okay, you know? And that's, isn't that true? It seems like some people think they know it all, right? And sometimes we think, yeah, if I was in charge, then things would be so different. And isn't it true? When we ourselves are attacked verbally, our tendency is what? To just sit there and say, okay, you're right. No, we want to what? Come on. We want to attack back, right, with our own vicious words. Isn't that true? And sometimes, you know, for, you know, husbands and wives, you know, I know, right? Sometimes we got to be careful of that because sometimes we want to be right and we say things to hurt each other. And it's just not just husbands and wives. It's fathers and sons and daughters and, you know, everything, everybody, right? We just want to be right. And sometimes we say things really hurt the other person. But, you know, look what it says here in Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. Well, read what Jesus, or this is what Apostle Paul tells us to do. Ready? Go. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will what? Bless them and be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Wow. Can you do that? Is that easy to do? To bless someone when they're cursing you? It says, don't curse them, right? They're persecuting you. Yes, but don't curse them. Pray for them that God will bless them. Can we do this on our own strength? Uh-uh. Ain't gonna happen. And if you find yourself in a situation where, you know, this person is giving you such a hard time, you know, God is the one that will help you. But we got to ask for help. Say, Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I'm having such a hard time. Be honest with God and say, Lord, you're telling me to bless this person, to pray for this person. Will you help me? God will help you because his power will come upon you. His presence will come upon you as your heart is humbled before him. You know, I got to tell you, one day this man came up to Pastor Charles Spurgeon, one of our greatest theologians of all times, right? This person came to Pastor Spurgeon on the street, and this person took off his hat, and he bowed, and he said, the Reverend Mr. Spurgeon, a great humbug. That's what he says. He says, great Mr. Spurgeon, a great humbug. And you know what Spurgeon did? Pastor Spurgeon took off his hat and replied, why, thank you for the compliment. I am glad to hear that I am great at anything. Think about it. It's something that we all should do as Christians. But too often times, what would you say? How dare you? And we have like fire coming out of our eyes, right? And we realize, no, we got to humble ourselves. And look what Pastor Spurgeon did. He says, I'm glad that I'm great at anything. That's what you call humility. And this is the kind of humility God wants us to have. Because when we can show to the world that this humility is in us, they're going to start wondering, you know what? Maybe your God is real. Because I never seen anyone respond like that before. Maybe the love that you talk about is real. It's a love that can only come from Christ. And, you know, this is King David's observation about people who love to curse others. It's in your notes. I want you to read it with me. Psalm 109, 16 to 17. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. He loved to curse. Let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing. May it be far, far from him. Wow. And you kind of look at that. This is David talking about people who curse others, who don't care about others, right? And so he says, you know, he loves to curse. So you know what, God? Let curses come upon him. right? He did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. And you go, wow, David, you're kind of harsh there. But you know what? Listen to what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 22. Read that with me. Ready? Go. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to what? Judgment. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. Oh, this is what Jesus is saying here. I want you to pay careful attention to what Jesus is saying here. First of all, we got to understand what the term raka means, okay? It's an Aramaic term of contempt. What does that mean? Well, it's the modern equivalence of saying, you stupid idiot. Really? That's what it is. It's like saying, you stupid idiot. I mean, with just the total hatred and anger in the voice, okay? Has anyone watched the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond? Who watched that show before? I'm sure all of us. It was number one for the longest time, 1990s to like 2005 or something like that. It was very popular in the 1990s. But I remember every time, right, the main character, Raymond, right, he has an argument with his wife, Deborah. You know what Deborah does? She usually ends the fight with a deep sigh. And what does she say? Idiot. That's what she would call her husband. Idiot. And she would roll her eyes. Idiot. And so, you know, one of my friends, kind of funny, he told me, Ben, I really love that show. And the only thing is, though, when I watch it with my wife, you know, she ends up calling me idiot. And so he said, I don't want to watch it with her anymore. You know, and so we got to be careful. We don't call each other fool or idiot, because it says raka is answerable to the court. But what does it say there? Then it tells us Jesus, he says, when we call a person a fool, right, we're in danger of hellfire. So what's the difference between, you know, raka, right, which is an idiot, right, or a fool? Well, you know, with the second one, this is the one that is in danger of hellfire. I want you to pay close attention because of the fact it's coming straight from your heart. And it's saying, you fool, I wish you were dead. That's the kind of terminology that we use with such anger, with such hatred, that can really put our lives in danger of hellfire. Where it comes straight from your heart, where you're wishing this person was dead. I gotta tell you, we gotta be careful of this, because even a Christian can get to that point, because it starts with a raka, right? You idiot. We can just say that, right? But remember, with a fool, it has an exclamation point, right? And so, guess what? It really means with intense hatred and anger. Don't get there, brothers and sisters. Don't get there. Because the devil, he's going to help you. He's going to keep telling you, oh, think about what this person did to you. Right? And then sooner than you know it, you may get to that second level one, which is going to get you in danger of hellfire. And we got to ask God to extinguish it. Tell God, I don't want to think these terrible, evil thoughts against this person. And ask God to help you to let his love, his peace and joy fill your mind and fill your heart. Because, you know, that is such a dangerous place to be, where you're wishing someone dead. And I heard Christians tell me, I counsel some Christians, and they tell me, yeah, I wish that person was dead. Then I say, hey, stop. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Don't go there. You don't want your life to be in danger of hellfire. You know, one time this pastor told of the time he was called a fool, but guess what? It was in a very unique way. And this is what he says in this article. Just listen to what he says here. He says, don't write or say anything that you won't sign your name to. If you receive a negative anonymous note, ignore it. If they're not willing to sign their name, it's not worth reading. Don't take heed to it. He then told of the time in which he received an anonymous note with nothing but the word fool with an exclamation point written on it. Okay? So the next morning, he got in church and he says, I got to tell you, congregation, I got many notes without signatures before, but this is the first time I got one where someone forgot to write the note and just signed his name. Fool, right? And that's it. And guess what? Who's a fool? Who's a fool? And we got to be careful because, you know, sometimes we think, okay, as long as I put my name, I'm gonna show anger in my own way, in ways that I can get away with it. And sometimes people say, okay, I'm just going to get my key. I'm going to just key up this person's car. Really, you want to do that? This is something that we know is originated from where? From hell. Hellfire is brewing in your mind. And you're thinking of ways to really hurt the other person. And you know what? This is so displeasing to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, don't even entertain thoughts like that. Because this is something that will get you far, far away from the presence of the Lord. And we got to be careful because we know our hearts belong to Jesus Christ. And we got to make sure our hearts are only getting softer and softer each and every day, not hardened by the devil. Because the devil, he's working extra hard to get your heart hardened. Don't let him, brothers and sisters. Don't let him. Just let the word of God soften your heart to the point that you can love each other deeply and immensely. So the question is, how can we refrain from being a mouthpiece of the devil unto others? Well, I got to tell you, I remember my dad, right? I know I share a lot of the things that my dad had said, you know, the wisdom that he spoke to me and my brother. But, you know, I remember him telling me and my brother this. He says, don't make a problem bigger by complaining to others. Instead, ask yourself how you can bring forth a solution to the problem. Don't add to the problem by complaining. Ask yourself, what can I do to help to make it better? Isn't that words of wisdom? Yeah? And you know, here's the thing. I remember reading about this young boy, right? He was complaining to his father that, you know, he was saying, you know, Dad, most of the church hymns are boring to me. And he says, they're too far behind the times. They're tiresome tunes and meaningless words. So his father put an end to his son's complaints by saying, you know, son, if you think you can write better hymns, then why don't you? Okay? So you know what the boy did? He went to his room and suddenly the presence of God just came upon him and he just humbled himself before God and he just prayed to the Lord and he told the Lord he was sorry for all of his complaining. And he wrote his first hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's like 14 or 15 years old. Can you imagine that? I thought it was like an old man with a long beard who wrote that song. You know that song, right? When I Surveyed the Wondrous Cross. What a beautiful song. And the year was 1690, okay? And the teenager, his name was Isaac Watts. And you know what other songs he wrote? You ever heard the song? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. He wrote that. Along with 350 other hymns that are very popular, you know, among the Christians in the churches. And, you know, that's what we got to understand. We got to stop complaining, you know, pointing out all the negatives and all the terrible things about others and say, you know, if I can make a difference, then I will. But first, you got to humble yourself before God and realize it's not really you. It's God that will bring forth His great and wondrous works as you surrender yourself to Him. Amen? That's what it's all about. I want you to look at point number three now. It says, upon our Lord God. Okay, and we know what that scripture tells us about taking the name of the Lord in what? In vain. I want you to read with me what it says in Exodus 27. Read that with me. Ready? Go. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay, what does it mean to take in vain? Because we hear that all the time. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Well, what does that mean? Okay, well, it means actually to place little value upon something or someone and to have great disrespect for. So when you take something in vain or someone in vain, that means you have no respect. You know, you take this person, you just think of this person as being the smallest of the smallest, okay? And so when we take our God's name in vain, it means we're misusing his name in a way. We're showing to God that his name has very little or no respect. That's what it means. And, you know, sometimes I even hear believers, they're saying, oh my, what? Oh my God, right? And they say it in a way that is dragged out, you know, oh my. And sometimes they will also say, instead of oh my God, right, they'll say OMG. Well, guess what? Same thing. Because we know what it means. And we got to be careful because we say that. What if I said that to you? Oh, Bruce. Right? Like I'm putting the blame on you, my trouble. Oh, Bruce, because of you. Do we want people to say our name, you know? Oh, Brian. You know, come on. So why do we do that to God? Right. Oh, Lisa. You know, because that's what we do. And when we do that, I'm thinking, what is God thinking? Why are you calling out my name? And it doesn't sound right. Because God wants us to call on him, doesn't he? Yeah, but not in a way that's disrespectful. And it is disrespectful. Come on, we got to call it for what it is. Because sometimes people will even go as far as putting God's name together with that profane D word. Right? I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about that. But even Christians, I hear them saying that. And that is a definite no-no. Come on. It says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is exactly what it means. And the scripture in Exodus 20 is very clear. It says, God will not hold you what? Guiltless or blameless, right? Because if you're saying to people that you're a Christian, why would you curse the very one whom you love and is in your heart? Why? Why would you really blaspheme him like this? Because we got to understand, you know, in the book of Exodus, we know this is something that is very displeasing to him. But, you know, in the book of Leviticus, you know the penalty for cursing God? You know what that is? It was very harsh for the Israelites. I want you to look what it says here in Leviticus 24, 15 to 16. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Say to the Israelites, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be what? Put to death, okay? The entire assembly must stone them, whether foreigner or native born, when they blaspheme the name, they are to be put to death, okay? It's very serious. Well, are we going to be put to death? Are we going to get stoned for cursing God's name? Well, that's not going to happen, right? But I'm going to tell you, when you do curse God like that, you're truly showing yourself to be a Christian atheist. And some people go, oh, Ben, come on now. Yeah, you say you're a Christian, but I don't know. Do you really know God? And some people will kind of say, oh, Ben, you're being kind of harsh there. You're not. No, the Bible is very clear. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the penalty was once that you did that, you were stoned to death. Come on. And we know for a fact, right? And atheists will have no problem with this. Because one time I was in a store, and get this now. These were the workers behind the register, and they were cursing God. I'm serious. I felt like I was going to throw up. I had to get out of there. I didn't mean just using his name in such a terrible, terrible way. The worst of the worst of the worst. And I have to say, you know, this is what the world will do. I want you to look at Psalm 139, 19 to 20, and the very fact David realized, yeah, the world, they will do this. But, hey, not for us. Come on. But look what he says here. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They what? They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. So it's totally understandable for the person who doesn't know God, the person who is of the world. Of course, they don't know any better. We were once there. I'm sure you probably took the name of the Lord in vain many a times before you came to know Christ. I did. I know I did. Okay. But the thing is, now it's different. You've been set apart. You're consecrated unto God. You're set apart for the purposes of God. Your heart belongs to Jesus Christ. You know, as Christians, it should be one of the most repulsive things that we can do against God, and that is to take his name in vain. I want you to look what it says there in 1 John 1, 5 through 6. Read this with me. Ready? Go. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. So if God is inside of you, guess what? Light is in you, and there is no darkness. Because once we were filled with darkness, because we didn't know Jesus Christ. So we got to understand, if we're still cursing God, we're still taking his name in vain, guess what? You're living in spiritual darkness. I got to say, that's what I see it as. Because if your heart belongs to Christ, no, you want to speak goodness of who he is. You want to just praise him. Because look what David, what he says about God, about the name of God in Psalms 8:1. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Oh Lord, our Lord, how what? Excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Well, you just read that. You can see that this is something that was said from the heart of David. How excellent is your name in all of the earth. And that's what it is. We got to realize that's something that we are to be so excited about, the very fact that the name of God is written on our hearts. Don't ever use his name in a way that makes him small, that makes him like disrespected. No, don't do that. And we must love the name of the Lord our God so much that we are to protect it at all times. Because, yeah, sometimes, you know, people will misuse his name, but we're to correct in love. And especially, right, if this is a brother or sister in the faith. And sometimes I know you stub a toe, you hit your thumb, with a hammer or whatever it may be. And sometimes you can say, but you know, we do that sometimes. I don't know, for some people, they still may do it. But, you know, just realize, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Or you tell a brother, oh, you shouldn't say that. You know, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. But say in a loving way. But the fact is, right, we got to protect the name of God because it should be so precious to us. Amen? Extremely precious to you. Because you realize what Jesus did for you on the cross. And then there are times in which a Christian atheist will curse God when trouble comes upon them or their loved ones. And here's a case in point. You guys remember Job's wife? You know, she had seen all the terrible things that had happened to them, right? They lost all their possessions, their children. And now Job's health had been, taken a turn for the worse. His body's inflicted with what? Painful boils. Can you imagine? Boils all over your face, all over your body, from head to toe. And then this happens. I want you to look in your notes. Job chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Okay, what did Job do? Read it with me. Ready? Go. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." And he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Instead of cursing God, we got to do the complete opposite that David did. What did David do? He blessed God. I want you to read this with me in Psalm 103 and just read it with just feeling the heart of David as you read it. Ready? Go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. You know, just reading this, I feel like like an explosion of God's love and life upon me. I'm sure you felt it too. You say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't allow your mind, your heart to get to the point where you're thinking, God, are you doing anything? Because you start there, eventually it will be, crush you, God. You're not doing anything for me. But you got to be careful, because the devil, he will work gradually. Sometimes he's not going to say, okay, just curse God. No, he will work gradually. Yeah, your situation isn't that good right now. You know, it's been like, what, 2 weeks already, and nothing happened. And guess what? The devil keeps working your mind, until he wants you to get to the point where you're going to start cursing God. Don't allow him. You know, you got to recognize it. These lies, these thoughts just start coming into your head, saying, in Jesus' name, I will not entertain that thought at all. Get it out of there in Jesus' name. And you're not going to allow yourself to get to that point where you're going to even entertain the thought of cursing God. Because God is for you. Amen? He's for me. He wants his goodness to abound in your life. Always. Always. And you got to believe that with all of your heart. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. I want you to read with me in Psalm 19:14. Read that with me. Ready? Go. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we got to remember, what is going on in our minds and in our hearts will eventually come out of your what? Your mouth. So what you're saying, probably because you started thinking about it first and you let it travel to your heart because you thought of it so many times. And you think, okay, no one knows what I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you. You think about it enough. If it's in your heart, eventually it will come out of your mouth. And suddenly you go, did I say that? I can't believe I said that. Well, yeah, you can't believe you said that, but it was in your mind and your heart for a period of time. You've been stewing on it in your mind and in your heart, and eventually it will come out of your mouth. So we got to realize, when if it is a case like that, you know, get it out of there. Just say, Lord, help me not to think these negative thoughts, these evil thoughts. And if you fill your heart with the word of God, you know what? Only pleasant and beautiful words will come out of your mouth. I'm telling you, it's so true. When you fill your mind with the words of God, suddenly the words you're speaking, oh, it just touches people's hearts. You ever heard people just telling you, well, I'm so glad you're here, because every time you're here, you're saying things that lifts my spirit up. I feel so good. I don't know exactly what you're saying, but you're saying things that my spirit is just elevated. And it's because you got the word of God inside of you, because you've been meditating on the word. We got to realize, brothers and sisters, for the Christian atheist, he will always be careless with his words, because guess what? He's going to always end up hurting other people. And guess what else? He's going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because this is very grieving to the Holy Spirit when he sees you're being a mouthpiece for the devil. And I want you to read with me the last scripture here, Matthew 12:36-37. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every, what? Careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay, does this include the believers? Yes. Okay. It's believers and unbelievers. But it's a different judgment, right? We have the great white throne judgment, and then we have the bema seat. We're going to be judged based upon what you did for Christ, the works that you did for the Lord while you were here on this earth. On the other hand, the unbelievers, they're going to be judged by their actions, by the words they have spoken. Okay, we will also have probably a moment with the Lord. He He will point. I really believe he's going to point out the things that we have said that were careless. But we're not going to be judged for that. He's probably going to show to us, you know, this is what you said, child. Do you remember this? I think something like that where he's just going to bring it to our minds and maybe just show it to us. But we're not going to be judged for that. But realize we're going to be standing before the Lord. We got to give an account for every careless word that we have spoken. So knowing this, right, should we be careful of what comes out of this thing? Oh, yes, because if we're not careful, we're going to be standing before the Lord. And, man, can you imagine just standing there going, I don't know why I said that, right? Because a lot of times we do that. I don't know why I said that. But we realize God, he's a forgiving God. He will never stop loving us. Amen? But, yes, as I said earlier, no man can control the tongue. But if you know that your heart belongs to Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see that your tongue will have more control. Because you don't have Jesus, yeah, it's totally out of control, right? But with God in your life, there will be control. Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, the second characteristic of a Christian atheist is one who has a mouthpiece for the devil. And Father, we don't want to be a mouthpiece for the devil, but we know the devil, he puts it in our minds and in our hearts to speak things that will bring forth death and destruction. And we don't want that, Father God. Will you help us? Because we all need your help, because we know how this tongue, this piece of meat in our mouth can have the point where we can lose control of the words that come forth from our mouths. Father, we're in desperate need of your help. And Father, I ask you now, as your Holy Spirit fills this very place, I just pray as your Holy Spirit counsels us. I pray, Lord, if we know that it seems like our tongues have just totally lost control, that it seems like we've just let every word come out of our mouths without thinking. We just say things and we hurt others. Father, will you help us? Because we need your help. And help us to say words that will bring forth edification, that will bring up others instead of bringing people down. And right now, with all our eyes closed, with our hearts fully surrendered to God, if you say this is you, you just heard the word of the Lord and you realize, yeah, you know what, Lord, I do need your help. Because I need to control my tongue. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, if this is your heart's cry. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I got my hand raised up too, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Can you put your hands down? Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but more importantly, it's the hearts. It's the hearts behind those hands crying out to you, say, Lord, forgive me of those times I didn't have control over my tongue. Father, will you forgive me? Because, Lord, I want to be a good representative of your son, Jesus Christ. And the world must know as I speak forth your word, I speak forth your word in truth. And I am a living example of what it means to have Christ in a person's life. Father, help us all because we're so desperate for you. Father, fill us up with your Holy Spirit and let your presence abound in our lives so that we can go out in the world and show to the world that truly Jesus Christ is alive. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen, amen. What